Actually, let's go to number eight. I'm sorry. I made an arrow here and didn't follow it. Considering item eight, consider and take possible action to authorize the CEO to execute a contract with Icon Integration and Design Inc. for data cleansing services. Gail, are you on that? Are you introducing this?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. As we have discussed previously, CSERA is looking at transitioning to a new pension administration system to better assist members and also to have operational additional operational efficiencies within CSERA. Back in June, we went to the board and they you approved the issuance of an RFP for data services to enable data analysis, cleansing, and conversion by an outside vendor. And in July, an RFP was issued. CSERA received three proposals in August. After consideration of these proposals by the PASS oversight team, they developed a finalist out of the three. I did want to mention that the PASS oversight team at CSERA is comprised of Jasmine Lee, our member services manager, who's also the internal project manager for this project. And I wanted to actually introduce her to you at this time. And I know she's on the line, but it looks like the video is not on, but we do have Jasmine.
Hi, Gail, I'm here, it's Jasmine. Yes, hi, as Gail mentioned, I'm the project manager for this particular project. And as Gail mentioned, I'm working alongside with all the other PASS oversight team members. And I'll turn it back to you, Gail. Thank you.
Thanks, Jasmine. Mm-hmm. Also on the team are CSERA's deputy CEO, IT manager, retirement services manager, accounting manager, admin HR manager, and member services supervisor. And they've worked in concert with the external consultant Siegel on this project. And after careful review of the proposals, ICON really showed itself as being the finalists based on our given criteria. They really set themselves apart from the other proposers merely based on their experience with similar projects and with the number of pension systems that they've assisted as well. You may recall that they previously did some work for us a few years ago, which enabled us to fully decommission our last legacy system. And so this project, it's anticipated, it will be completed in the fall of 2024. It's gonna run in correlation with the full pension project that we will be taking a look at over the next few months. And for this piece of it, it has been proposed a total not to exceed cost of $2.115 million, which includes a data security software tool for approximately $42,000. That tool, in case you're wondering what that is, that really, it provides an additional level of security relating to keeping members' personal information confidential during the data migration to the new pension system. So that's adding an additional security layer there. And then also this potential manual cleansing of the $451,000 amount that's shown on the memo. And payments would be, it's anticipated, based on deliverables received, and that we would definitely be requiring holdbacks of those. And I do have, it looks like we do have Sue Ziegler from Siegel on the line. And I, at this point, I wanted to also turn it over to Michael Thibault of ICON, who has some additional information to provide to the board. Welcome, Michael.
Thanks a lot, everyone. And I definitely appreciate the opportunity to do the presentation here. As Gail said, we had done work with CSERA before, and we look forward to engaging again. And with that, I'll just jump into the presentation slides. But with that, if you guys have quick questions at any time, just give me a shout and I will answer them. Okay? Okay, can everybody see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay. Again, we want to thank you and presenting our methodology to Sarah. Basically, how we'll do this is we'll do kind of an introduction. I'll let you guys know who ICON is, some of our clients, how we approach the principal project and elements, and our methodology, our tools, and what we foresee in the Contra Contra Day project. I started ICON 15, 16 years ago, and I've been doing data migration, data quality conversions for 25 plus years throughout all of the United States and Canada. We've had the Federal Reserve, USDA, a lot of banks, insurance companies, but and what we have been really strong in the pension industry. We have more clients in the pension industry than anyone else. We are the industry leader. And I think that that is a reason that we are is because of our staff. And ICON only does data management. We don't do programming or anything like that. We know data, and that's all we do. And we are definitely focused on that. 100% of our revenue is doing what we do, helping pension organizations such as yourselves look at their data quality and then migrate to a new PAS system. Here's just a list of our pension clients, and they range from very small to some of the largest in the country. We've worked with many vendors and with many oversight vendors as well. So having that breadth of knowledge of the vendors and also how the new vendors want their data presented to them gives us definitely a jump start in all the projects. So how we look at a pension project. The pension project basically is comprised of a system, the people, and the data. And all of these represent some type of risk. The system, there's new business rules and processes, there's the software application, and there's the technology and infrastructure. You know, that is something that's already been taken care of by Costa. And then the people and the staffing, that right there is, you know, working with the staff at Contra Costa, working with the staff at the new PAS system is what we are going to be very much intertwined with. We are going to be working really hand in hand with Contra Costa and the vendor. We look more as a partner in this process than just a vendor, because at the end of the day, a successful project looks good on everybody, and we want to do everything we can to make it a very successful project. The data side of it, that I think is the easiest to me and to ICON. That's the easiest way of controlling the risk, because we can come in, look at your data, make sure that it matches your business rules, and your business rules matches your data. And then we have control steps within our migration to make sure that everything within your legacy system gets migrated over to a new pension on time, on schedule, and with a high level of quality, everything. And then we'll kind of go through that. But I applaud Contra Costa for taking the step and being proactive on their data quality. If you look around and before, you know, data quality was even a thing, I guess, a lot of pension projects kind of failed or did not live up to expectations. It wasn't because the product was bad. It was because the data that they were feeding it was. And it's just kind of like you're putting diesel fuel in a gasoline car. It's not going to run right. So the data is the fuel for the car, and that's kind of what we look at the data for the application. So. Our methodology, ICON approaches our our methodology, and we look at a client's overall data, and we divide it into data, basically what we call data levels, okay? And this allows us to approach a conversion and a quality process systematically and in a very direct forward moving process. Because it's kind of like building a house. You got to get the foundation right first, and then you start building it. And how that is we develop our data levels based on pretty much the life cycle of an individual's organization's membership. We look at the demographics first. We look at the base model of what they have and getting that data aligned. And then another thing is we start in, and we have, based on our knowledge and our experience within the pension, we have what we call data quality checkpoints. Basically, those are business rules that are done to all pension organizations, and that's our starting point. So we don't come in, starting from scratch. We literally come in with a library of 750, more than 750, really, of data quality checkpoints. And what those checkpoints are they are the first question that we ask, Our first question that we could be asked is, what's the minimum age for a member? That's the starting point. Then we start looking back at that and everything. So those are core questions. But the real purpose of those is it leads us to the second and third core questions that we will be asking. And that's where we really dive in and get in detail and really get to know Contra Costa business rules. Okay. And this library will be expanded at Contra Costa, I can already tell you, because we start off with 750, but we'll end up with much more everything. Because the second, third questions then really get in depth and detail. We also want to make sure that as we're going through this, we work really closely with the Contra Costa staff and also the PS vendor. But what we want to make sure is that Contra Costa staff has really a high level of confidence in the quality of their data. And what we're going to be doing is showing them what the business rules are and basically what the data looks like that goes against the business rules. That way, they also get an understanding of, okay, here's our data, and guess what? Here's our business rules. They conflict. And we basically kind of go through there. And as we're doing the data cleansing, the confidence level of that of your data goes way up. And also the vendor also understands that they're getting really good quality data, which reduces their schedule and everything. So if they have an issue, it's more than likely a testing issue or an application issue versus backtracking and looking at a data site. Okay. We also, our methodology, again, I've been doing this for 25 plus years, and this methodology that is that we're going to be using is one I developed and has been enhanced over those years. We do the same methodology at all of our clients, and the reason is that it works. It's repeatable. We can jump into it, and we know that the outcome is going to be successful, and we do it for all the clients that we have. Basically, what we'll do is we will jump in, and we'll identify sources of legacy data. Right now, you guys have CPAS, and that's one legacy data. But there's also probably some Excel spreadsheets or some other sort of data silos that people keep their data in. Excel spreadsheets are very common. We'll pull all of those in. That way we know what the scope is and we know what we're working with. Then we'll work with your staff to define the business rules. And these are documented business rules and also undocumented business rules. Because as things change, sometimes the documentation is updated, sometimes it's not, and it's bad. And sometimes there are business rules that just aren't documented at all. What we'll do is we'll get those business rules and we'll document those in the form of a data quality checkpoint form. And when we're done, all those DQCP forms will be all of your business rules and everything. So it's a very good catalog of all your business rules and what your data has to abide by. We will access the key data and determine the authoritative data sources for each one of those. Really, authoritative data sources is you can have an address. Many of these applications, they will store an address, for example, in many different tables. And it could be because a person's either active, it's going to be in this table, or if a person's retired, it's going to be in this table. Depending upon that, we're going to determine what's the best source for the address. And that's what we're going to look at, and that's what we're going to migrate, okay, to it. Because we don't want to bring over bad baggage, and we want to make sure that the authoritative source is the best, cleanest, and the standard. So that's what we're talking about on authoritative data sources here. And then what we'll do is we will condition and migrate that to what we call a target staging database, a TSD, okay? In that process, what we're going to be doing is identifying those data elements that do not meet the business rules, okay? And then we'll generate a report based on that. Also, in process of that, we will enter into what we call execute a staggered parallel conditioning and data assessment effort, whereas we want to start doing data cleansing as soon as possible. That way, the more you get cleansed early on in our findings, the less you have to do in the future. So it actually lowers the overall level of effort in the data cleansing, saving both time, money, and energy. And then we'll basically move that to a single normalized data structure, which is the TSD, okay? Once that's over, we reconcile the data. We'll reconcile it from all the legacy data sources into the TSD, and then from the TSD into the new PAS vendor's database. And then the final step, we'll match up the legacy to the PAS, to the new PAS, to make sure that everything's in sync, okay? Definitely do not want to find anything that was mismapped, didn't get moved over, or that there was some manipulation data in the transfer. We want to make sure that our reconciliation process will ensure that nothing like that happens. And that, again, what it does is it inspires confidence, and we do it repetitively, over and over and over. That way, at time of deployment, no one, it's just another run, and no one's surprised. Everything, because you know, surprises are never good in this lot of work. When we look at business rules, we'll go through and talk with your staff, and what we'll do is we'll start with the business rule. And business rules have changed over the years. You know, you had one, you know, business rule that was started 10 years ago. It may have changed multiple times, okay? So what we'll do is we'll document it, we'll develop our script against it, we'll look at it, at what falls out, and then we'll refine that, because we don't expect your staff to remember all the changes to that business rule for the whole time Contra Costa has been around. So what we'll do is we'll work with you guys, refine it, so that way we actually can write rules to it based on the time and then the grandfathering. Everything. So what we'll do is we'll make sure that your data is accurate, it's time sensitive, and it's historic, and move forward. At the end, the result is your data is at a very gold standard level, and your new PAS system should look like it's the only system you've ever had. Okay, so that way it wasn't like you had this and this, but you missed it, or it got rolled up, or anything like that. So what we want to make sure is that it looks just it looks like the one you've always had. And you were very comfortable with it. During the data migration, again, what we'll do is we cut this down into five different steps. We identify the data sources, we define the business rules, we assess the data against those business rules, we migrate what's quality, and then we reconcile. This migration process will be done over and over and over again. This is a very reiterative process, but what it does is it makes sure that nothing falls through the cracks everything is accounted for and that all data elements have a relationship to other data elements. And what we want to make sure is that they are in lock sync and they flow together. Okay. So if again, like your start of service date corresponds to your service credit and corresponds to your contributions, your employment history, all those things have to work in coordination. And we want to make sure data works in coordination with that. Okay. If I'm going too fast, please let me know. But if you have questions, again, please speak up. This is kind of the hub of our methodology. Again, like I said, we develop our methodology, separating your data, your entire data set into 9 different levels. Okay. We'll process through 1, data level 1. Once we get through that, we'll move on to data level 2. But once we get done with data level 2, we will go back and retest everything in data level 1. Okay? Then we'll move from data level 2 to data level 3. Once we get done that, we'll retest all data level 1 and data level 2. Again, it's that coordination and making sure all the data elements are in sync. Because if you change a data element value in one area, it may have repercussions and cause something else to go out of sync. So what we want to do is make sure everything is in sync and everything is coordinated. Again, so by the time you're done with all the data levels, you've reiteratively processed all of these data levels numerous times, and at the very end, all data elements are in coordination and sync with everything else, and all those relationships are very, very solid. I know this is a busy chart, but it's kind of the only way we can be found to present things that people kind of grasp. Again, we're going to start an assessment, and we're going to start in parallel. We don't wait till the very end to start data cleansing. That's, in my opinion, that's never worked well. You need to start data cleansing as soon as possible. And to get that done, we want to jump in as quickly as possible with that. And the other thing is, if we start in early, then the data quality instances in later data levels actually go down. Again, once you get your foundation set up correctly, it works. Like we'll do data level 1 is direct graphics and foundation information. Data level 2 is employment history. Data level 3 would be contribution history. So you can see how they're each building upon the prior data level. And the more you start doing data cleansing and the faster you do it, then it definitely lowers the instances that we find next, sort of thing. And here's kind of a overall common overall environment. We take your legacy databases and then we do data migration into the staging area, which is the TSD that we talked about, the target staging database. Okay. And once we get everything in the TSD, then we move it to the new PAS database and everything. So I'm going to kind of go from left to right here. We don't ever touch production data. Okay, we don't want to impact production data because while we're running scripts, it may cause the response time on the production side to slow down, and we definitely do not want to do that. We understand production is the main thing, and we don't want to negatively impact that. So what we'll do is we'll take a copy of your production database and your silos and your Excel spreadsheets and literally any other data sources that you may or may have. We're going to take a copy of this. Then we start looking at converting those into a SQL Server database and everything. Then we start doing our profiling or data assessment. Okay. Once that data assessment is done, we start writing reports, which you can see we have a data quality checkpoint form, and that a data quality checkpoint form is basically a business rule. Okay, and then out of that we have a DQCP instance report. So every business report will have a corresponding DQCP instance report listing all the data elements that fail that business rule. Okay. And per data level, what we are going to generate is a data quality audit report that summarizes all the instances that we found for that data level. And we provide a grade scale, okay, of, you know, are we at the 60th percentile, 70th percentile, 90th percentile of the data. And we generate that. We also contained within that data quality report is our gap analysis. We know, based on our history and experience with other vendors, we know a lot of the data elements that they require and how they require it. So if we see a data element that is currently not stored in your legacy data sources, but we know that most of the PS vendors require, we will let Contra Costa know. That way we can start planning and start augmenting that data immediately. And that way we're more proactive versus reactive and everything. And again, this is just based on what we know and how we do things and everybody's we have worked with. So that way that gap analysis report will identify those data elements that are commonly found, but Contra Costa does not have that and everything. So again, we want to be proactive to it. And then another one is a reconciliation report. We'll start these reconciliation reports, and that basically makes sure that everything gets moved over to the TST, it gets moved over to the TST correctly, and that we're all in agreement that everything got moved over correctly. And we have our development side. We have our staging database on development. We have our acceptance, and we have production. The only time when we start delivering data, Contra Costa data, to the PS vendor, it will only come from our TST production environment database. Because that is what we call the gold standard. It does not get, data does not get into production TST until it meets all of the business rules. So once it's in there, it, like I said, it's gold. Okay? And this is kind of another of that version of that, but you can tell it has a lot more ports and we involve the new PS vendor. The only one thing that is of note here is that different vendors have different ways of wanting the data. Some of them want extract files, some want copies of tables, and it's a myriad of whoever you guys choose. And everything. So that extract table is basically the mechanism that we will provide data to the new PS vendor. But it all goes pretty much the same, and then we include the PS vendor in the reconciliation process, as I explained before. There's going to be three different reconciliation reports, one from the legacy system into the TSD, TSD into the PAS vendor, and PS vendor into legacy. Again, that seems like a lot of work, but it gives everybody a high level of confidence and makes sure that everything is done correctly. But we don't want to make sure on the new PS that something didn't get mapped correctly, that, you know, the first name got pushed in the last name section, and the last name got put in the first name. Again, that's just making sure that everything, when it gets done, everybody's happy with it. Again, another thing is all of our work, all of our work product, all of our reports, everything stays behind the Contra Costa flat firewall. This is so important because of security, everything else, and then nothing that we generate, all of our work products, none of our scripts, none of our anything that we do or generate, our memos, our emails, those all stay behind the Contra Costa firewall, everything. And like Gail said, we proposed a data security software that we've used in the past and works great to mask PII that they are going to the vendor, just as another layer of security. And we will work with the new PAS vendor to make sure they understand that, and we can link back and forth. Okay. Again, we're going to go over this. These are some of the reports. Like, we'll do the identify. We generate a data source inventory, and that's basically a data source inventory of everything that we found and are working on. Again, we know that we can be going through, we get done half this project, and someone says, "Well, I have an Excel spreadsheet." That does not throw a wrinkle into the process, because we just add it to the data source inventory, include it at the appropriate data level, and then we move on. It does not impact. It doesn't significantly impact any other data level. It just impacts that. So that way, again, if we're throwing something else, it has very little impact. Now, on the definition, which is a data quality checkpoint form, which is basically a data quality checkpoint, again, is basically a business rule and everything. And then the assessment, we have our DQCP instance report, we have our data quality checkpoint, we have our data quality audit report, on the migration, we have the conversion scorecard, then on the reconciliation, we have the reconciliation scorecard. But we produce a ton of reports to make sure everybody knows where we're at, how we're doing, and what the SAS is. And some of the next few slides are going to be based on the reports that we actually generate. And all these reports you're going to see are from current or past clients with obviously key information removed and everything. But we didn't want to generate a report. We wanted to use actual reports that we currently generate. So this would be a data quality audit report. And these, you can see the different sections that we are going to have. And then the Appendix A would be all the DQCP forms or business rules that were assessed during this data level that pertains to this data quality audit report. This is a example of a member benefits data quality checkpoint. And if you look, we have you can see we have the R fund, we have the payment type issue, there's zeros, everything. And a lot of these are, this is the first time this has been run, but you have a different marital status in the active me and the pay record. Again, this is exactly what we, and with the client that this came from, those business titles meant something to those staff. Again, we make sure that all of our reports are customized to make sense to Contra Costa staff. That way it's easily relatable to them, and they're all kind of customized, as we'll see in a bit here. But again, this is kind of a quick snippet. This is kind of a summary, and you can see this. We've done this. This has been from a client that had been going for a while. And we have on the foundation, we have 331 business rules that we did on data level one. The original instance count was a little over 1.2 million, and they have really good success of dropping that down. And I can tell you right now, the current, I know why this went up from this, is because they have a retirement period change. They had a major period in retirement that allowed more data issues to be entered. But we definitely track that. Again, like on the employee-employee invoicing or the insurance, again, they made significant strides down. And you can see that with that retirement, the insurance and demographics went up, and we could identify why that occurred, really. So we have all those data levels, and you can tell we have more than 750 right there. This is another one, and this is a checkpoint summary, and we break it down from current, original count to previous count, and we also broke it down to unique member count to active. Again, this allows us to resource, to identify the resources and put our effort where it needs to be. We wanted to make sure that all of our unique and active members got addressed first, so that's what we did. Again, the DCCP titles here, so you can see, and this is, so it gives a lot of information. And all these charts, reports here can be put on a graph or chart too, to be more accessible. And this is a actual DQCP instance report. You can see the member's name was left, and the member ID, employer ID, and some, but you can see that there's major issues here where the employment start date could be after the first contribution period. Okay, that would probably be not good. Again, we don't know whether the first contribution pay period was wrong or the employer's start date was incorrect. Okay, so again, we just want to make sure that we get everything, but this is all customizable. We talk with Contra Costa, identify what columns they mean something to them, and then that's how we present the report. So it's all customized. Here's the scorecard. We filter and make sure that sometimes we're filtering, and we can break it down to the actual individual table that we're filtering it by, to make sure that we're not leaving out any records. And if we do have a record, that's, we know why. Right. Again, it's just another layer of detail and allows us to get done quicker. And as the conversion, again, we had a record recon count. 10 of them were held out for this reason. 10 of them were held out for this reason. So we have those out there. And then, you know, all successful projects have a common traits. They have a specific goal, they have a proven approach and methodology, it's repeatable, and you have real life, the real life project plan. Okay, the project plan that we presented to Contra Costa probably won't change much. That's probably the starting date, because we've done this enough and we have enough experience that we give a real life. We don't do pie in the sky, and we don't like rearranging things and having a lot of impact with the project plan. And we stick to that, and we work towards that project plan. All of our staff has a great commitment to documentation. Documentation is so critical and something so detailed, because you may make a decision and then 9 months later you go, why did we make that decision? Well, you can go back and through our documentation and understand what the change was, why we made that. Because a lot of times you forget and you wonder why, and once again, go back to it. We always have had a really healthy relationship with both Contra Costa and the new PS vendor, and we want to keep that. If something changes, even if it's very minute, we definitely have an effective change plan to track that and everything. We have a dedicated project team. Data is all we do, so we are truly invested in Contra Costa data, making sure it's at high quality and that it gets migrated over completely and successfully, and that the Contra Costa staff have a very high confidence in the data that got moved over there correctly. And also the PS vendor has a very high level of confidence in it, because when you go into something that, when you have a high confidence level and you know everything was done correctly, then, you know, life's a lot better, everything. So I think that's this last slide. Yep. So does anybody have any questions?
Any questions for Michael?
I know data is not the sexiest thing to talk about, but it's what we do, and we truly enjoy doing it and doing what we do.
Okay, last call for questions. Okay, I'm seeing none. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. And I'll be logging off. And if you guys have, if you guys think of any other questions, feel free to give me a shout.
Thanks, sounds guys. Great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. So item 8 is an action item and there is a recommendation. Does anyone want to have any discussion or shall I entertain a motion?
I'm prepared to move the staff recommendation.
I second it.
Okay, motion by Jerry, second by Louie. Any discussion?
Not the speaker problem with my laptop until tomorrow.
Well, I can hear you.
Ready for a vote? Great.
Yeah, so I'll get the vote in fast so we don't lose you.
That would be great. Let's go with an aye.
Okay, Anderson's an aye. Finley? Don't know if Donnie was having some phone issues earlier.
Aye.
Oh, there he is. Gordon.
I think Jay should vote on this because I missed most of the presentation.
Karen.
That was crafty.
Is that fine? I'm sorry, Karen. There's no issue with Scott being present and Jay voting.
Hi, everyone. Jay can only vote if the main board member is absent.
All righty then. I'm an aye.
Sorry, Jay.
Next time.
Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
McDonald. Sorry, McDonald.
Do it.
Oh, he dropped off.
Okay. Jay gets to vote anyway.
No, not for McDonald.
Oh, but, that's right.
But I'll take a vote from Phillips.
Aye.
Smithy, aye. Watts,
aye.
Pigeon,
aye.
Okay. I think. Okay, great. So the motion passes 9-0.